If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live.
In a secret lab, somewhere in the Western Hemisphere, the perfect human specimen has been born. He has the strength of 10 men and the wisdom of 20.
Rick Munn.
Now you listen here. He's a very naughty boy.
TNT Radio.
Now go away.
Yes, you better believe it. It's Wednesday, the 17th of April, 2024. This is TNT, today's news talk. I'm Rick Munn. This is the Locked and Loaded Show. And we're going to be beaming out until 1 p.m. UK time. Adjust your clocks wherever you are in the world, on whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And of course, whatever you're doing, we'll hope it's nice. We've got quite the show lined up for you today. As always, as you would expect, I'm going to be joined by Gemma Cooper in both hours, our news correspondent, going to be talking about the breaking stories of the day. In the first hour, I'm going to be joined by Phil Zimmerman. We're going to get an update on the Assange case and what's happening in and around that. There's been some developments in that over the last few days. And then Basil Valentine and I will be chewing the fat until the end of the first hour about what's happening in the UK and, of course, wider afield on the old geopolitical front. So make sure you stay tuned for that. In the second hour, I'm going to be joined for the first time by a gentleman by the name of Hedley Rees. Hedley is an author, an ex Big Pharma guy. He's gone rogue, if you will, and 40-odd years of experience. He's written many books about this, the evils and the wickedness of Big Pharma. And this was all done prior to what really caught everybody's attention, which was, of course, the global COVID vaccine rollout, which happened at the end of 2020. So we're going to be getting his thoughts and opinions on that, how it was rushed through, and various other things as well. So please stay tuned for that too. We do have a live chat function. I'm sure you're aware of it, but if you're new to the station, maybe you don't know, go to our website, tntradio.live. And on that website, there is a live chat function. Scroll your way down there, make yourself an account, log in and register, and leave your thoughts, comments, opinions, views, suggestions, criticisms, nasty comments, nice comments, whatever you like, you leave them on there on the live chat. Coming up, we're coming up to festival season in the UK, where traditionally from around about June time, right up until the end of August into September, there's open air festivals. And TNT are very proud to let you people know that there are two that you can check out the details on our What's On page on our website. The first one of which is a Weekend Truth Festival that's happening from the 3rd to the 5th of May in the Lake District here in the UK. It's a camping expedition, and there's going to be food, and there's going to be a lot of great people on there. You can check that out, weekendtruthfestival.co.uk. And again, the details are on our website. And also coming up this summer, in fact, next month as well, in the Lake District also, different event, same area, a Stand in the Park and Light Paper are combining to put an event on called Stand in the Light. And they've got a website called standinthelight.uk. It's a music festival, Lake District UK, from the 24th to the 27th of May. So again, I don't have time to read out all the details of that, but if you go to our website, tntradio.live, we have a little button called What's On. All the promotional details are on our What's On calendar on the website of Doom. Yes, so if you've nothing else planned, get your tent brushed off, give it a shake, get rid of all the nasty creatures that are probably living in it right now. Make sure you get yourself a big bottle of deodorant and some Mars bars. That seems to be camping fare. And get yourself up to the Lake District at the start or the end, or maybe even both dates in May, and support these wonderful events, Weekend Truth Festival and also Stand in the Park, standinthelight.uk. Anyway, that's enough out of me. It's time for me to give myself a little bit of a shake and brace myself for what's incoming. And what's incoming is also known as Gemma Cooper. So don't go away. We'll be right back here on TNT, today's news talk.
Be a part of the conversation.
I want representation I can trust.
Have your say.
Biden isn't doing enough.
This is today's news talk radio, TNT.
Ay, 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 what a morning. Absolute bedlam in the Munn household, I'm not going to lie, but I'm here, Gemma. I'm here and I'm ready to talk breaking news. So what you got? What you got?
Well, before I go to some news, I just think, isn't it wonderful that the legacy of the last 4 years is, you know, all these new friendships that have been made, all these new events, festivals, you know, I've never seen so many different alternative, so-called alternative, you know, we're just anti-establishment people, but all these in the UK, massive amount of events have sprung up, you know, weekends away, conferences, speakers. Mm-hmm. It's just great. You know, it's not all been bad the last 4 years, certainly because I think a lot of people had an inkling the world was a bit off before 2020. 2020 completely confirmed it. And then a lot of new people come on board and suddenly, you know, loads of new friendships, loads of new connections, loads of new social lives, social groups. So that has been an absolute gift. And those two events will be brilliant. They really will. They'll be absolutely fantastic. So yeah, yeah. If you can get yourself along, then definitely try. It'd be great. Great part of the world.
And it'd be nice if the weather holds up as well. You know, those events, 3 days in the fields with a bunch of smelly strangers. I mean, truthers, you know, you want to make sure at least the weather's going to be nice there. So let's hope they do. And what I thought was cool, by the way, was there's two groups coming together for the second event, Stand in the Park group and also the Light newspaper. I've had Darren on here who runs Light and he's an absolute gem of a chap. So they're working in collaboration to bring this event on, which of course will hopefully reach more people because they're being targeting their respective supporters and bringing them all together in one place. And some great people on the lineup. And again, if you want to see what that exact lineup is, check out TNT's website, tntradio.live, on the What's On section. So yeah, and last year, I remember we all met up in Bath. In fact, I think I met you for the first time briefly as I was leaving to rush off to the airport. I met you very briefly. And of course, Mike and Lynn came over from Australia. Little Carol even made the pilgrimage down. She was in our little makeshift studio in the conference for the Better Way conference. So it was great. I met Darren. I met a lot of people that I work with in TNT as well for the first time. So yeah, networking, connection, physical connections, all off the back of this skullduggery of the last few years is definitely a big win, Gemma.
Absolutely. Huge. Huge. And long may it continue. Long may it continue. Well, you can't be stopped now, can we? We're like a juggernaut of awareness, a juggernaut of consciousness, you know, thundering through the dark sectors of society. Bit by bit by bit. And events like this are a start. These weekends away, they're just so empowering. You come back really feeling you can implement some changes, small ones, into your own life within the matrix, you know, and that's what they're about. And don't ever underestimate or discount the power of them. They have got a real significance. So yeah, good on them. Good on them. Excellent.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so check it out, the website, and we'll talk about it, I'm sure, more as the time comes up. But in the meantime, what else is happening on our soils, as they say, news-wise today?
Well, funnily enough, talking about dismantling the matrix bit by bit, I was just so delighted to read this headline about Ireland. I mean, I'm not you know, particularly happy for the staff, but the Irish Postal Service has said it's had to implement, you know, the training and help. Resilience training for its staff because of the backlash amongst the Irish public when the A on Post, which collects like TV license fee subscriptions, there was a huge backlash about the broadcasting arm of Ireland, RTE, the state broadcaster, and the payment scandal. And the staff at the Postal Service said they have received more negativity and aggression about collection of TV license fees than ever before, and convictions now for non-payment of license fees are at an all-time high. So it really does illustrate public dissatisfaction in Ireland with the state broadcaster and the mainstream media in general, I think. So it's a very interesting headline. Staying in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, there are calls to ban the smacking of children as there are in England. It's already banned in Scotland and Wales. The child campaigners are saying we need to bring a new law in for Northern Ireland and England, and that child smacking is tantamount to child abuse and has a long-term effect on a person's development and affects the way they live their life later on. So an interesting story there. Also, our unelected Foreign Secretary, dodgy Dave Cameron, he's in Israel talking Benjamin Netanyahu out of doing anything that might cause World War III. Keep a close eye on that and see what nuggets come out of that conversation, if we're allowed to see any of them as we go through the day. And inflation is down in the UK, not by as much as what people thought, but it has prompted calls for the Bank of England to reduce interest rates, which will, of course, affect the millions of people who have mortgages, which for some are absolutely crippling at the moment. And we'll see if that does ease and put a bit more money back in the UK consumers' pocket.
So much to unpack there. Let's rewind back to the Irish Postal Service training being given to staff out collecting DV licenses. I think the law's different in Ireland, in the Republic of Ireland, Gemma, than it is for us in the UK or up in the north of Ireland and Northern Ireland. It's not mandatory to have a TV license. In fact, if you go onto the TV licensing website, a lot of people just cancel their TV licenses, which is fine. You can just do that. But if you just cancel it out of the blue, they will send you annoying letters threatening to come out with vans, threatening to peek through your blinds at night to see if you're actually watching live TV. They don't have any rights. They can't gain access to your home unless you let them. You don't have to participate with that, but it's an annoyance if you start to get spammed by letters. But if you go onto their website, you just go onto the website and say, I don't need a TV license. I'm not going to pay for it anymore. I don't watch live TV. Thank you very much. Then they just leave you. They leave you well alone. That's the way I did it. And I've never heard anything back from them since. I don't pay a TV license. But I think in Ireland, it is legal. You have to have one, whether you watch it or not. And that's why a lot of people are starting to get very aggro at the minute. So many people are now not paying it that they're having to send the enforcers out to try and collect the money. And that's not a job that I would particularly want to be, you know, like a traffic warden / TV licensing collector. No, you'd need a crash helmet going into some of those parts of Ireland to collect that money. So understandably, the postal service workers are not too happy. And I think resilience training, I don't think it's resilience training they need. Have you ever heard of MMA, Gemma? Mixed martial arts. It's a combination of jiu-jitsu, boxing and kickboxing. They need MMA training, not resilience training. That's what they need if they're going into those areas to try and get money out of people for the TV license.
Well, it is very interesting you say that you wouldn't want that job. At the moment, it sounds like they don't want that job. No. And the Communication Workers Union have waded in as well, because there's been calls within the Dáil of another political party saying that let's look at, you know, the future of the licence fee and whether or not people do need to pay it. And the Communications Workers Union has said, well, effectively, that's given a charter to people not to pay it. But that affects jobs down the line in the postal service. If, you know, if you're employed to enforce it, you're out of a job if it's not enforceable. But they're absolutely clear this morning that the level of aggression and hostility, which you're quite right, Irish people aren't renowned for their calm, even temper, are they? I mean, that's the great one of the greatest joys of being Irish. I'm quarter Irish myself, and I'm not known for my relaxed, easygoing demeanour, I can assure you. Not that I'd resort to violence in something like this, but, you know, they're saying record levels of hostility and aggression this morning, and some really, you know, severe worries for the safety of their staff, hence the training. So that does show how the situation has escalated, and what the pay scandal was last June, wasn't it, that it all came to light about secret payments to one of the main presenters, which is what sparked this entire row. But I do think there's probably a wider context of people's general dissatisfaction with mainstream media, because they see it with propaganda. They see it's propaganda. They see that the government policy is being parroted through RTE, and what the effect on the ground, what's actually going on, are two completely different things, immigration being one of the main ones. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. Convictions are at an all-time high for non-payment, and the future's in the balance. Let's see what happens and whether or not, you know, the eyes of the state broadcaster here in the UK is looking and thinking, oh dear, well, if it's mandatory there and they can't make it work, we're certainly, that's it, we're on the MMA ropes ourselves here, which I think the BBC knows it is.
Or the octagon sides. There are no ropes in MMA, Gemma. You need to get chained up in this.
They fight in a
cage. They call it cage fighting for a reason. It's an octagonal shape with about 6 foot high walls with like chicken wire mesh on it. You can't even dive through the ropes if you want out. No, you have to be pushed out mincemeat style through the mesh walls of the cage. But anyway, that's enough of my sick serial killer-esque thoughts on that one. But interestingly, in the live chat, thank you very much, by the way, for everyone that's contributing in the live chat. Someone asks here, well, what if you don't have a TV in Ireland, Rick? Mogden says, I'm not actually sure about that one, Mogden. I would imagine if you don't physically actually own a TV, then you would be exempt from having a TV license. But then again, this is Ireland. I don't know. I'll probably check into that one for you and have a look, or you can Google it, have a look and see if you can find anything through the show, and I'll reveal the results of that. But I would imagine you don't have to pay it. But then again, this is Ireland. So just because you don't have a TV license or a TV doesn't necessarily mean that you won't have to pay a TV license. So interesting one that, Gemma. Plenty of other stories there. When you come back in the second hour, we'll dig into them a little bit more, especially Cameron's weaseling. I would call it weaseling over in Israel. Cameron is loving the spotlight that he's getting, acting as the de facto prime minister, let's be honest, over in Israel at the minute, swanning around in the world stage with the spotlight on him. He's had a new lease of life, as it were, politically. And yeah, inflation, question mark, it's on the drop. Not in my local Spar, it's not. I'm getting fleeced every time I go in there. But anyway, maybe they didn't get that memo. Maybe they need to be listening to you and I in the mornings and start dropping their prices hand over fist. But we'll get back to that in the second hour. Massive thanks to you this morning, Gemma. Got to take a pause right now and brace ourselves for the first guest of the day here on Locked and Loaded TNT. Don't go away. We will be right back.
TNT's Jason Burmis.
Now, whether you like Donald Trump or you think he's literally Hitler, have we ever been in a situation where a person who has led this country could not take a day off from what is obviously a show trial in every respect, way, shape, and form, to go see their kid graduate high school? Oh, Jason, he's a billionaire. He doesn't care. That's his like fifth kid. Who cares? How dare you, Jason? He's already got Don Jr. and Eric. He got to go to those. Look, the bottom line is this is grotesque on every level, and it shows how lawfare is being waged against anyone who goes against the narrative. Even the President of the United States. And this is very dangerous.
Jason Burmis on today's News Talk. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
At the top of the hour, we'll keep on top of the news.
It's the most important thing we can do.
On today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yes, TNT, today's News Talk, Wednesday the 17th of April, Locked and Loaded. I'm Rick Munn, and I'm happy to be joined again by the one and only Phil Zimmerman. Phil is a comedian. He's also an actor and a political commentator and has been following the case of Julian Assange for years now, and it seems to be coming to a little bit of a head at the minute. Phil, the last time you were on, we were talking about the ruling that came after the court date back in February. Now there has been further assurances given by the US government. Oh, don't worry, we're not going to put him to death if we get him back over here. That seems to be trying to pave the way for his extradition to happen sooner rather than later. What if you make of the latest developments?
Well, it's a bit like Groundhog Day, Rick, isn't it? It just seems to me this saga is going on and on and on and on. There's going to be another hearing now, is there not, in London on the 15th of May about this? Mm-hmm. I mean, what can you say? I mean, this whole thing now is the big focus now is that they're not going to impose the death penalty. Isn't that wonderfully kind of them not to think about imposing the death penalty? This is a country that's already attempted to assassinate Assange through the CIA. That's widely known, but that doesn't seem to have made much of an impact on the courts considering this. And so it would be very nice of them to extradite him, put him on trial for telling the truth about war crimes when they've already tried to assassinate him. And when he's been tortured for years, confirmed by the UN, really serious torture for years. And this is going on and on and on and on. So they're not going to impose the death penalty, but they will incarcerate him in the same conditions that have already destroyed his health. I mean, It's just, I don't know, theatre of the absurd, theatre of the grotesque. And you talk about comedy. I mean, you just have to laugh at the whole thing, really, because it's just a ludicrous saga, you know, that's based on lies and corruption and war crimes.
And ironically, the people that are trying to, well, what they're not trying to, they are torturing him to death. My view on this whole business with Assange is he's being mentally tortured to death as we speak, has been for over 5 years now in Belmarsh prison. And of course, before that in the Ecuadorian embassy, albeit under better conditions, but he was still effectively a house prisoner for a long time before he even went to Belmarsh. I think just before we actually delve into what happened yesterday, this stretching out, Phil, call me cynical if you like, but I think it's part of the torture process. Sometimes isn't it better just to get some bad news? You know, if you're expecting bad news, sometimes it's better to just get that letter, to get that knock on the door, to get that visit from someone, just to get the bad news instead of worrying about it. Am I going to be extradited? Am I not? Am I going to be put to death? Am I not? Am I going to spend 175 years in a maximum security prison when I'm already in my 50s? That's effectively game over. They might as well put him to death, Phil, because they're going to bury him deep inside some supermax over there. And I think it's going to be even worse than Belmarsh again because of the separation from his family.
Well, exactly. And I mean, it's the false hope that kills you, isn't it? I mean, Stella Assange said that when that, you know, geriatric incontinent psychopath Biden uttered those words recently, that when he was asked by a journalist whether he would release Assange, Biden said they were considering it. I mean, obviously, any words that come out of Biden's mouth are to be taken not just with a pinch of salt, with a whole sack of salt. I mean, it does. I totally agree with you. It does just seem to be just part of an ongoing psychological war on Assange. And of course, on the rest of us as well, people all over the world who are hoping that Assange will be released, because that would be a huge victory for freedom of speech and human rights. And it's quite clear that they want to spin this out as long as possible. And the torture is virtually a death sentence. Mm. And he's not going to get, like Davis said, he's not going to get a fair trial over there. Davis talked at the last Assange rally before the last case, the court case, that the last case that David Davis was involved of this nature, the US gave similar type of assurances and completely broke them. So we can't trust a single word they say. Their conduct all over the world being a cancerous force for war and conflict and lies and murder is well established. So what else do we expect from in this case? It's quite clear that they want to get him over there. They'll string it out as long as possible. And that they won't need to murder him, because they think that he'll die in the amid this ongoing torture.
I've for a long time, I've, you know, done some research into prisons, solitary confinement, the whole shooting match. It's something that interested me, you know, prisons. And when I've been overseas, I've done some work in prisons. So it's something that interests me personally, set aside the Assange business. And if you read any accounts of any men or women that have been held for long periods of time in solitary confinement, they effectively say, listen, it's like being buried alive. It's like being buried alive. And many, many times your life is effectively a long silent scream. Okay. It doesn't matter whether you physically scream. If you're not doing that internally, you're screaming, because you're not meant to be kept in a 10-foot by 8-foot box under artificial light under those conditions. It's torture. It's widely regarded as torture if it's done for more than 14 days. And he's been in solitary confinement now for 5 years. And also psychological torture of hostages. One of the ways in which captors torture their hostages is they say, okay, you're getting released today, Phil. They'll actually put you in a car. They'll drive you to an airport. They'll walk you out to a plane. And then they'll say, no, not today. And they'll turn you around and bring you straight back into your captivity again, because they know that hope, crushed hope, repeatedly crushed hope, breaks you. It's a form of psychological torture. And I make no apologies for it. I think that's exactly what the British and the American governments are doing to Julian Assange, and have been doing now for over 5 years, daily psychological torture.
Yeah, so of course, going back into the Ecuadorian embassy as well, where he had absolutely no privacy and was spied upon. you know. So this has been going on for a long, long time now. And now the comedy.
Yeah. I mean, well, I tell you what, let's get to that actually. Yeah, because we need a little bit of lightheartedness in this too. Not that we're making any kind of joke about what's happening with him, obviously, but talking about the importance of maintaining, I don't know, somehow a positive outlook in things and being able to look for the humorous side of things in life. Maybe not with this case in particular, but that's something that I wanted to talk to you about today as well. And we'll do that. We'll have to take a little headline break just for 30 seconds. So when we come back at the other side, let's look at coping mechanisms to get people through these tough times. And I think you will attest to it, being a comedian yourself, comedy is certainly one of those things. So we'll do that on the other side of the news here on TNT, today's news talk.
The news you need when you need it.
Oh, you have a deep voice.
TNT.
Matt Boyland here with your TNT headlines. After helping defend Israel against an Iranian attack, the US says it will not offer the same level of protection to Ukraine.
Different conflicts. Different airspace, different threat picture.
Israel's been accused of killing near a dozen children in a drone strike in central Gaza. Much of the desert city of Dubai is underwater after receiving 2 years' worth of rain in a single day. And the FBI has launched a criminal investigation into last month's deadly bridge collapse in Baltimore.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Yeah, just a headline that we heard there during the break about that Dubai flooding at the minute. A lot of people asking questions about that. It's the worst rainfall that they've had in the last 75 years. Dubai Airport diverts arrival flights after city-state struck by a year's rainfall in just one day. So they got almost 5 inches of rain on Tuesday, with more expected in the coming hours. Quite a sight to behold that, seeing Dubai flooded. And then I've done a little bit of digging on this too. So, of course, cloud seeding's a thing over there. Is it climate change? Is it cloud seeding? Is it chemtrails? What is it? Just worth noting here that cloud seeding in the United Arab Emirates did start back in the 1990s. Many Middle Eastern countries using it, and meteorological experts are expected to carry out as many as 300 missions across the UAE in 2024. So I don't know, was it a fluke? Was it just a one-off climate blip? Was it tied into that, Phil? Will we ever find out?
Yes, good questions there, Rick. I mean, the whole chemtrail thing's been going on a long time. And I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, but a friend of mine said that when you've got your photos in the cloud now, that the globalist cartel, they can go into our pictures and they can change pictures where the showing, you know, from years ago, showing a cloudless sky, and they can put the lattice work, the X marks the spot on there, just so that we don't remember the times of clear blue skies, and kind of just normalize the idea of chemtrails. So you never know. I mean, it could be true, you know.
Who knows? And you know what? Even if it is true, if it's not, you know, I was talking to another guest about this on Monday. What do you do? You know, you look up there, whether they're spraying chemicals or whether or not, what are you going to do about it? It's hard to get up there. It's hard to take the yellow boards up to 38,000 feet. There's no roundabouts up there. What do you do? Do you go Pablo Escobar-esque on them? Do you get yourself a surface star missile and take out the airplanes? Of course, we don't believe anybody should be doing that, but it's an odd one. And I do think it seems to be getting a lot of traction. Certainly a lot more people are talking about it now and discussing it and critically analyzing it. So for that, I suppose that's a good thing, Phil. But more importantly, and I do say more importantly, humor. Okay, my friend, I want to talk to you a little bit about humor. Personally, if my motto is, if you don't laugh, you cry, and you can't really do both of those things simultaneously. If it wasn't
you
for humor,
in my show.
Maybe during the show, but maybe not simultaneously at exactly the same time. But humor, obviously, you're a comedian. You'll have seen the benefits of being able to get together with people and have them laugh collectively. That's something else that the government effectively tried to shut down for 3 years. Your show was cancelled, and of course, comedy clubs were all shut down, along with most entertainment industry, because didn't want people congregating and having a little bit of light relief.
That's right. I mean, my show was clearly very dangerous to the establishment because, of course, in Edinburgh in 2021, when I got the chance to do a comedy show, when the Scottish government relaxed the distancing rules, that was a fantastic Edinburgh because none of the corporates were there. You know, it was a very small percentage of acts. But I had the Killing Granny thing, and I had people from both sides of the people who'd been vaccinated and people who weren't vaccinated laughing at the same stuff. You know, that's very dangerous. We can't have that, can we? You know, but talking about the chemtrail thing, how should we respond to that? Well, I found the only way I could really respond to that was by putting a pigeon costume on and writing a punk rock song about chemtrails, you know, and dancing around on stage, having a bit of a laugh about conspiracy theories. And people that even, you know, are not into conspiracy theories, i.e. telling the truth, really like the song. So it's a pretty good way of spreading the message from people who don't even want to hear it, you know?
You're a bit of a punker at heart then, are you?
I am a little bit, yeah, and I'm making a record now. So actually, I'm going to be making, I did that song at Kegworth and it went down a storm. It always goes down a storm. Mm-hmm. And I will be making a video of Lines in the Sky, and I'm looking for people to dress up as zombies, right, sheep, and I want someone to wear a cabbage outfit. So anyone's interested in being in my Lines in the Sky music video, you know, if you're up for it, that's definitely a good way to laugh at the system.
I was going to say there, if you want some good zombie footage, you don't need people to send you in videos. Just take your phone, go down to your local Tesco, probably late at night on a Friday. Just walk around videoing poos shuffling up and down the aisles. Absolutely. In those unholy malls, yeah, and spars at your local Tesco or your supermarket. Do you play an instrument, or are you just a singer?
I'm a singer. I play a bit of trumpet and harmonica, but I've always worked with guitarists, you know, and improvised. And so, you know, it's always fun writing songs in that way, and I'll be in the studio soon with doing the Lines in the Sky, and trying to avoid, like you say, the zombies in the. I mean, the other day I was crossing the road and I saw this guy coming towards me. I'm not joking, this is true. He had a phone in each hand and he was walking across the road looking at him. You know, I had to dodge him, you know, never mind dodge the traffic.
You're not going to believe this, but I actually did play guitar for many years in a death metal band, two death metal bands over here in Northern Ireland. One was called Severance and the other one was called Agonist. So I am I was fond of a little bit of high volume music there. And I'm trying not to turn every show into a reminisce over the heady days of death and thrash metal, but it's hard not to now, especially when I have legends like yourself coming on talking. Once you mentioned punk, that triggered me. So I thought, yeah, we'll have to delve a little bit further into that. But in all honesty, this business about keeping people apart, I'm finding myself, even if I have a really bad day, things aren't going well. You get a little bit overwhelmed about what's going on in the world at the minute. There's nothing more medicinal, I believe, than meeting up with someone in the flesh, someone that you know, someone that you get on with, someone that you can have good banter and good crack with, and just simply having a laugh, winding each other up, having a bit of a lighthearted take on what's going on in the world at the minute. And if you do take yourself or what's happening in the world too seriously, and you don't have any of that light to all the darkness, I think that's one of the reasons why we have so much mental health crises at the minute, Phil. People need to expose themselves to a little bit more lightheartedness in life. I'm not saying don't take anything seriously, but what I'm saying is it can't be full on darkness all the time. Otherwise, we're finished.
Absolutely, yeah. And on that note, as you mentioned earlier, one of my shows, Bill Gates Killed My Hamster, was cancelled by the Brighton Fringe. So I'm planning to go back to Brighton rather soon to do a little bit more piss-taking of Mr. Gates. Yeah, and I won't say too much more about that, but it will be revealed soon what I'm going to be doing. And I don't think Brighton Fringe are going to like it very much.
Yeah, well, good. Let's hope that they don't. If they don't like it, then it's very much mission accomplished in your part. And we'll have some listeners. We'll have some listeners, by the way, just to encourage you here in the live chat as well. Some ex-punkers also in here. Wee Fat Shug says, I was in a punk band called Protection Racket fantastic name back in the 1970s. Unfortunately, racket was the operative word. Well, yes, if you can play your instruments and you're melodic, well, then punk ain't the thing for you or me or Phil, for that matter. It has to be a little bit of an unholy, irreverent racket going on. But Phil, massive thanks to you this morning for hopping on. We've got to pause this one as per now because we're out of time. We've got to take an ad break and then Basil's coming on. But massive thanks to you. Best place to hook up with you. I know you've got a Twitter site, but do you have a dedicated Instagram page or web page? I don't use the other social media outlets. Where's the best place to hook up with you, find out what you're up to?
Yes, I am on Instagram, and Phil Zimmerman Freedom on Instagram, and I'm still limping along on Facebook, Phil Zimmerman dot number five on Facebook. And as you say, I'm on Twitter, Zim Filiman. Zim Filiman.
The reason I ask, I don't have Facebook or Insta, so I don't know what the accounts are on that, but I know you do have a Twitter account. That's why I thought if there's a better way to contact you, I think the best thing is go onto Instagram, Phil Zimmerman Freedom, all one word. Yeah. Check them out there, and I'm sure any details of upcoming gigs and tours that you'll be doing will be on there as well. Phil, thank you so much for your input this morning, as always.
Pleasure.
Whatever you're off to do now, hope you have a great day, my friend, and we'll stay in touch and hopefully talk again sooner rather than later. Got to take a pause right now, and when we come back at the other side, Basil Valentine will be joining me to take us up to the top of the hour here on Locked and Loaded on TNT, today's news talk.
As a combat wounded veteran, I know how hard it is to come home and build a meaningful life. When I was in Iraq, our vehicle was hit. A rocket-propelled grenade exploded right under my seat. Traumatic brain injury, a fractured pelvis, severe burns. They didn't think I was going to make it. I had to learn to walk again and live with the scars, both visible and invisible.
DAV helps veterans like LaToya get the benefits they've earned. They help more than a million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
With DAV on my side, I was able to pursue my dreams. If my story can touch a heart, it can change a life. My victory is overcoming my wounds so I can help other veterans.
LaToya Lucas, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
We all know what it's like to feel alone. But it just takes one new connection.
Want to get out of here?
To empower many.
This is unbelievable.
It doesn't take a superhero to bring forces together. We all have the power to reach out.
Let's go!
And help someone feel like they belong.
Pretty cool, huh?
We are stronger together.
Informative and engaging. Rick Munn. Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, Wednesday, the 17th of April, 2024. Massive thanks to everybody who's leaving great messages in the live chat this morning. Wee Fat Shug's in there, Mazzy's in there, a lot of people in there. I don't have the screen open, I've just came out of it now, but a lot of people leaving messages in there. Blotters is in there too, so thank you very much for doing that, and please continue to do so, and I'll keep dipping in and out of them when I get these little breaks in between guests during the course of Locked and Loaded. So happy to be joined again by Basil Valentine, TNT's very own political editor. Things are seem to be easing off a little bit on the weather front, at least where I am now. No sideways trees, no black skies, no torrential downpours today. Anyway, unlike Dubai, eh? Wouldn't want to be over in Dubai at the minute, would you?
No, I'm not sure I'd ever really want to be in Dubai, to be honest, Rick. I mean, they built a whole super city there in the last 25 years or so, haven't they? Freddie Flintoff went out there to live, and it's now a major international travel hub. It seems you can't travel to the Far East or Australia without stopping off in Dubai, all in a bid to turn their fabulous oil wealth into something more than thoroughbred racehorses. The supreme ruler of Dubai, Sheikh Mohammed, of course, one of the biggest investors in the thoroughbred industry in known human history. I used to say they had a great big pile of 20 pound notes the size of a lorry and pitchforked money into a furnace. I actually once bought a horse off Sheikh Mohammed, believe it or not, a long time ago. A horse called Zamil. Yeah, we'll talk about that another time. But anyway, he paid $500,000 for it, and I bought it off him for $2,000.
Wow.
But yes, I think they've been cloud seeding over there. You know, it's a desperately dry place, one of the most arid places in the world. Is this climate breakdown, Rick, or is this geoengineering?
Well, that's the question on everybody's lips. And, you know, one thing for sure is that you can't escape from it. The minute more and more people are looking up and scratching their heads now and certainly being more inquisitive and asking a lot more critical questions when it comes to what's happening or what's not happening above our heads. Of course, there's two camps here. One is, you have nothing to worry about. It's all a big conspiracy. Other people are saying no. And I covered this on Monday with Catherine McBean a little bit. There was a paper that was published by Yale University way back in 2019. Saying that Harvard and Cambridge University have dedicated hubs examining the effects of spraying the atmosphere with sulfates. Even today, just before you came on there, Basil, when I was talking to Phil, these are just factual reports coming out of the UAE this week. Since the 1990s, yes, cloud seeding has been a thing in the UAE. That's openly admitted. And meteorological experts are expected to carry out as many as 300 cloud seeding missions across the UAE in 2024. And that's actually coming from timeoutdubai.com's website. So it's not a secret per se, but maybe is it a freak accident? Once in every 75 years, they got a year's worth of rain in one day. Will we ever find out? That's the question.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I hope they're able to capture it all, Rick. That's the thing that crossed my mind, and use it for irrigation or for drinking. Or is it all going to just flow into the sea? I mean, they do pride themselves on having the latest technology and just about everything over there. So perhaps this is a blessing in disguise, and it means there won't be any water shortages over there for a long time. Talking of things falling, UK inflation has fallen, but by less than forecast, to 3.2%, which has cooled hopes of a rate cut. And this sort of has a bit of a knock-on effect. It's not really the news that Rishi Sunak would have wanted at this point in the election cycle, where it seems only a major revival of the economy could possibly save him. He's this morning said that he's considering some exemptions to the Rwanda bill for some Afghans. That is finally due to become law within the next few days, believe it or not, at the eye-watering cost of £1.8 million per individual who is exported to Dubai to have their asylum claim processed. I mean, given that you can fly commercially to South Africa for about £700, I wouldn't have thought the cost of accommodation in Rwanda is, particularly excessive. I mean, you can stay pretty
pound
much
a night.
In
you
world.
Can stay in Rwanda for £1 a night. I can tell you that from experience. £1 a night if you wanted to, and that's as a white tourist, let alone an asylum seeker. So where they're getting these numbers from, Basil, it beggars belief.
It's not even on the charts. People use the term off the charts. I mean, this is stratospherically off the charts. I mean, I would have thought perhaps a figure more about £10,000 per individual, but you never know the extent to which outsourcing is being used to milk the government, basically, who is arranging the flights. How much are they paying themselves? Complete
And we know cronyism within the government isn't exactly something new. Look at how the money was manipulated and I would say laundered during the scandemic years with the purchase of PPE and other outsourced contracts going to friends and family and pub landlords of various politicians. Unbelievable. And the inflation thing too, you brought up about the inflation figure. My understanding is, listen, my gauge of inflation is always when I go to my local shop and I buy everyday goods like milk and bread or whatever, butter, whatever you want to call it, fruit and vegetables, a little bit of meat, whatever. That's how I gauge inflation. And for me, personally, where I live, maybe it's just a blip up in north down here, but I ain't seeing any big reductions every time I walk out of my local spar or my local farm shop with a bag of stuff. You know, you're talking 20, 30 quid. I understand that inflation's used, the way it's measured is there's a virtual shopping basket with 100 items nice. Put in it, right? That's my understanding. But the government can replace those items and swap those items around as they please. So Basil, I would say, being a little bit skeptical on it, the stuff in the Tory inflationary virtual shopping basket at the minute is certainly not the stuff that I'm buying on a day-to-day basis, because I ain't seeing any dropping in the cost of living and the price of goods where I am at the minute. Maybe it's different where you are.
Well, the basket always includes consumer durables like washing machines and televisions. And by virtue of economies of scale, changes in the interest rates, technological developments, the price of those can actually fall. I mean, a television set hardly costs any more now than it did 30 years ago when people couldn't afford to buy them. They actually rented them. Can you imagine that now? You know, renting a television set week by week. So that's why the food is only a part of it. But apparently meat prices have actually fallen in the last month. Nevertheless, unemployment is up and, you know, we're far from out of the woods when it comes to the economy. I just want to highlight as well this sort of £1.8 million per individual to process their asylum claims in Rwanda against a £77 million funding gap for hospices in the UK where the terminally ill are cared for. So £77 million is the shortfall, according to Hospice UK, and we're spending nearly £2 million per individual to deport people to Rwanda to process their asylum claims. Meanwhile, 750 new such people arrived over the weekend on the shores of the South Coast. So basically that means the funding gap for hospices could be closed by the equivalent of just 40 people being sent to Rwanda. I mean, when you talk about priorities and proportionality, it seems absolutely ludicrous. They're earmarking over £3 billion for the Rwanda exercise. I suppose actually most of that is a bribe to the Rwandan government.
Yeah, and doesn't it just go to show as well, Basil, that if they want to find money for a particular cause or a particular mission that they embark upon, they'll find it. They'll magic it up from somewhere. They'll print it if they have to. But when it comes to something like this, and this is just one example here, but the Hospice UK has warned that they are facing a £77 million funding debt. That, I don't want to say it's peanuts, but it is peanuts when you think that the government spent, what, $37 billion on the track and trace app. They spent hundreds of millions, if not billions, on what was those things, PPE, faulty PPE equipment. They spent hundreds of billions, if not trillions, on furlough payments for people. And here we have a comparatively paltry amount of 77 million quid to keep the hospice open for end-of-life care for people that are dying with cancer, to give them a dignified send-off. And all of a sudden, they almost have to get the begging bowl out saying, well, look, we're facing a 77 million shortfall. And what are the government doing about that?
Oh, absolutely. I'm reminded of the words of the most famous and greatest economist of all time, John Maynard Keynes, who said, if we can imagine it, we can do it. Because, you know, this whole idea of equating one's own personal finances with those of a government is complete and utter nonsense. Started really with Margaret Thatcher, the grocer's daughter, and that idiotic, simplistic, naive, puerile analysis of economics has been picked up by Rachel Reeves, the Shadow Chancellor, talking about how she used to work out the family's budget at the kitchen table with her mother. I mean, it's absolutely pathetic. A government can do whatever it wants. And depending on where it spends the money, it can stimulate the economy and therefore garner bigger tax receipts. So it gets the money back, as well, of course, as improving quality of life. I want to pivot now to hypocrisy, more hypocrisy from Downing Street. There were extraordinary scenes yesterday in Brussels, I don't know if you know, with police storming the National Conservative Conference, where when Nigel Farage was speaking, and attendees heading out as a result of a ban imposed by the local mayor, who said that it was divisive and not in the interests of public safety. Emir Kier, the mayor of Saint-Josse-ten-Noode, a district of the Belgian capital, issued a banning order on the event to guarantee public safety. Apparently, anti-fascist protesters were threatening the venue with mass protests, demanding it be called off entirely. Now, I'm no fan of a lot of the attendees at the event, who included Suella Braverman and Michelle Phillips. But nevertheless, I do think... Also, Viktor Orban, the Prime Minister of Hungary, was due to speak. So, you know, these are weighty figures, and for all that one may disagree with them on many issues, nevertheless, they are entitled to hold their event, surely. So although Sunak condemned Suella Braverman for going to the event, tried to stop her from going, they've nevertheless condemned the police for cancelling it. Just today, the organisers have won a court order allowing them to stage it again. But at the same time, let's contrast that with the pro-Palestine conference in Germany, which was brutally shut down by police. And the newly elected rector of Glasgow University, the Palestinian-British surgeon Ghassan Abu Sita, who'd recently been working in Gaza, was denied entry to Germany and turned around at the border. Now, you could say that these two things are, you know, represent different political wings, the National Conservative Conference being portrayed as far right and extremist. I don't see what on earth is extremist about standing up for the indigenous people of Palestine, but very worrying signs in both cases of creeping authoritarianism on the continent, Rick.
Yeah, creeping indeed. Just to quote Viktor Orban there, you mentioned Viktor Orban there, Hungary's Mr. Orban, who was due to speak in Brussels, has reacted with indignation, posting on his Facebook account that Brussels has just moved up a gear, in his own words. If anyone stands up for peace, they are simply banned. No question. On the 9th of June, we have to clearly say no war, he added, referring to the date of the European election. So he references this creeping authoritarianism there too, saying Brussels has just moved up a gear. So they call it the totalitarian tiptoe. You know, sometimes they take two steps forward, they pause, they take a step back, make it look like they're losing some ground, but then it's two steps forward, one step back, gets them to where they want to go in the end. And I think that's what we're seeing over in Brussels at the minute.
Well, the organisers went to court and cited Article 26 of the Belgian Constitution, which, and I quote, grants everyone the right to assemble peacefully. The court ruled there was no evidence of a threat to public order from the event itself, and that this seemed to be derived purely from the reactions that its organisations might provoke among opponents. So I'm very pleased that the court have done this, because basically it means that you can't have mob rule, and the threat of violence by a mob opposed to the speakers in the hall should not mean that the speakers in the hall are cancelled. So there were farcical scenes apparently outside the venue yesterday when the police entered the building to serve the closure order just as Farage was finishing his speech. It was absolute pandemonium in there. Farage himself is apparently considering joining the Conservative Party, having been encouraged to do so by Liz Truss, who said she would welcome him in the party.
Sure.
Yeah, but he also noted that, you know, Reform are closing in the polls on the Tories, but it might be that neither of them end up with many seats after the next election.
Could you see him ever joining the Workers' Party, Basil? Just a little lighthearted lightheartedness and scenario there as we come up to the end. Do you think George would welcome him into the Workers' Party of Great Britain?
I think that's one place he won't find a political home. Although, as an ally of Donald Trump, who advocates an end to the killing in Ukraine, although Farage and Galloway have very, very different positions on Gaza and Israel, they might actually find some common ground in wanting to bring the war in Eastern Europe to an end. And I thought it noteworthy that, as you say, Viktor Orban there, when quoted, was talking about the need for peace. It's funny that this event, the National Conservative event, and Galloway's party are both characterized as extremist, the one extreme right, the other, the Workers' Party, obviously extreme left. Yet they are the parties calling for peace in Eastern Europe. Those are the two basically, you know, political wings wanting an end to the slaughter in Eastern Europe. And it's the so-called centrists that want war. Make sense of that, Rick.
I can't make sense of it. I don't have time to make sense of it. I can't even process that one. But Farage, you know, he's everywhere. It's hard not to. I went out for a walk yesterday, Basel on the coast. I shook a bush, and Nigel Farage fell out of it. He's everywhere. There's no escaping him. He's everywhere. But anyway, all good here in TNT. Thank you so much for your input as always here today. It's always a blast talking with you. We'll talk again tomorrow. That's Basil Valentine, our political editor. I'll be back after this news break with another hour of Locked and Loaded, so please stay tuned for more here on TNT, today's news talk.